My name is Alex Webb. I'm here on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It's the 7th of September 2009. Could you please state your full name, your date of birth, and where you come from?
My name is Quinny Quinn, and my date of birth is the 27th of May 1965. And I'm from Northern Ireland, but currently living in Leeds.
So when did you first hear about the project?
I sort of follow Anthony Gormley's stuff anyway, because he's a sort of people person, and I'm a sort of people person. And I just remember them trying to get approval for it, so I don't know how I heard about it, I just sort of knew about it anyway.
And what inspired you to take part?
Well, it just sort of seemed like a really sort of unique opportunity. Like, that fourth plinth is a bit of a bone of contention, you know, like what's going to happen on it. And whenever the Mark Quinn exhibit was up, you know, that was like brilliant, having a disabled, you know, woman sculpture on that, especially whenever you've got all these generals and majors and warlords lurking around.
Yeah.
It just sort of thought, oh, well, this is a really, you know, good idea and a good chance for people to just show what they're like and what life's like here, really.
And so what do you plan to do in the plinth, and why?
Well, tomorrow is the start of the world's largest arms trade fair, and that's going to be at the Excel Centre. It's you know, called Defence Systems and Equipment International.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's like a shopping mall for weapons, cluster bombs, spy equipment, you name it, they've got it. And a lot of the countries that will come to that, you know, have got appalling records for human rights, but yet they get invited to come here and they get invited to do their shopping at the Excel Centre. And that starts tomorrow, and it was just by pure luck that I got the slot the day before. So it was like, yeah, this is just perfect, really. There's a bit of a blessing there. So basically it's a protest against the arms trade, and specifically trying to draw attention to this arms trade fair, because we are now funding it. The government has promoted and funded this arms trade fair, and now that the government owns 70% of the Royal Bank of Scotland, that's also a worry as well, because the Royal Bank of Scotland is one of the arms trade biggest financiers, and it also owns 70%, you know, like it's 70, it owns 70% of the Royal Bank of Scotland, and it also is a major investor in the arms trade fair. So that means we're investing in murder and conflict all around the world. Granted, it's degrees of separation, but it's our money that's doing it. And it's just interesting that the government chose not to sort of help invest investors that were making wind turbines, doing something really sensible, but they're quite happy to invest in, you know, destruction and death. You know, it's just appalling. And I think people need to know, and people need to take action. If you wouldn't go out and kill somebody, why would you let your money be used on weapons that will kill somebody? So you've got to do something about it.
That's great. And do you protest in your, you know, the rest of your...
Yeah, well, I sort of know what's right and I know what's wrong, and I just think doing nothing changes nothing. You can't moan about the state of the world from your armchair and watching TV. You need to actually do something about it, because that's the only way things change. And, you know, it's been interesting since the recession started, more workers have been taking action in their places of work, because they say, yeah, this is appalling. The government has bailed out banks, but they won't be in it. So it's like people need to join up the dots, and if you want things to change, you need to go and do something about it.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background, just, you know, from like maybe growing up? That's okay.
Well, I'm from Northern Ireland. I've been brought up in a war situation, so I suppose that's another reason why I'm particularly against any sort of war, because there's nothing good about it, you know. And that's not even for the generation that takes part. It sort of lasts for generations and generations. There's nothing good about it, you know. And I think that's been very close to my heart, you know, and that goes like from simple things like war toys. Why would you buy your kids a plastic gun and then you complain about the amount of gun crime there is? It's like, come on, you know. So yeah, so I was brought up in Northern Ireland, and you know, that was very difficult, you know, and sort of got involved in, you know, sort of peace campaigns and anti-nuclear campaigns, and I came to England to live at Greenham Common Women's Peace Camp. So I lived there for a number of years. And I just believe in sort of equality, and I believe in justice, and I believe, you know, in people have a right to life, no matter who you are, what you are. So I do things about that because I think it's important.
Yeah.
So I came here, and then I sort of went travelling backwards and forwards, and then I've relocated here again. I'm now living in Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Was there anyone else in your family as well that kind of protested? I mean, was it family and friends? Was there some family and friends?
Yeah. I mean, being brought up in Northern Ireland, people have one viewpoint or another, and I always felt I was a little bit out of the box because I was sort of a bit more of a big picture person. So whenever I was going on about, you know, these nuclear weapons are not very good, you know, people were saying, never mind the nuclear weapons, look at what's going on here. But everything's all connected. I don't think you can take things just on their own. Everything's connected. So yes, we may have had a war in Northern Ireland, but that's connected to, you know, finances. That's connected to, you know, yes, Northern Ireland was used as a training ground for the British Army to basically have wars in other countries. So you've got to sort of make those connections between everything, and I've been quite good at doing that, but I don't know why I'm more able to do it than other people are.
Yeah.
You know, because we should all be just taking a bit of time out and thinking, right, what's going on here, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe some people are making more of a connection, you know, with this recent recession, people are making a bit more of a connection, like looking at capitalism and how it needs people, you know, to be downtrodden in order for it to work. And you know, but did it have to take a recession for people to start thinking about it, you know, or for people saying, oh, why are we spending all this money on weapons whenever we've got no jobs? It, why couldn't we have sort of been saying those things before, you know, on a much bigger scale? So I just think it's a bit bad that we always wait till something really bad happens before we do it, and I'm a bit into, like, let's be prepared, you know. And it's like this thing about the arms trade. People say, oh, well, it's got nothing to do with me. Well, are you going to wait until it's those guns, you know, shooting you, or those bombs dropping on you before you think, oh, this isn't a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
So people need to sort of get a bit more empathy about what's going on in the world and taking a bit of responsibility and doing stuff about it. So that's sort of where I come from, really. I'm sort of, I think we all have responsibility to, you know, protect this planet and protect the people in it. So you need to do something about it.
And going back to the plinth, what are your hopes and fears about going up there?
Well, my fear is about falling off. I just keep saying, oh my God, it'd be so embarrassing to be the first person to fall off. My hopes about it is that, you know, it's the day before the Arms Trade Fair, and it just might prick somebody's conscience. It just might help somebody join up those dots and think, oh my God, I banked with the Royal Bank of Scotland and I didn't realise they were, you know, major funders of the arms trade, you know. And if that person just makes a phone call to their bank saying, I'm not very happy about this, you know, I might close my account. Well, that's a really good thing, because unfortunately money talks, business, you know, and it's terrible that you can't go to their consciences and saying this is wrong. But if you start saying, right, I'm going to withdraw my money and close my bank account, maybe that will shift things. If enough people are ringing up complaining, maybe they will have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
The same with Barclays, you know. Barclays has always had a bit of a dirty record in terms of what it's done, you know, in various conflict areas in the world. And, you know, and it's the biggest arms trade investor.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of people bank with Barclays.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you want your money to be used for. You know, would you go and pay somebody in the street to go and shoot somebody? No, you wouldn't. So why do it by the back door, sort of thing? So I'm just hoping that people maybe think, yeah, no, I'm not into killing anybody. I don't want anybody else to kill anybody. Why is our government, why is our taxpayers' money being used to fund the arms trade? If they just think about that, that's one step closer to doing something about it.
Yeah, that's great. And do you think standing in the plinth, do you think that will have an impact on you?
I'm not much of an exhibition. I'm a bit of a sort of just get on and do stuff, but I usually do stuff with other people, so it feels a bit weird, sort of being up there on my own, sort of thing.
Yeah, obviously. So yeah, if you've been, you know, involved in campaigns, or
yeah,
in
so always
large groups. This,
yeah.
So is this the first in terms of?
Yeah, just going off on my own, sort of thing. You're saying, oh, okay. I know there'll be people on the ground, but I'm not into glory or fame or anything like that. So being on my own on the plinth, I'm thinking, I could just be a bit more anonymous. That would be really good, but you can't really hide yourself completely. Or I could, but there's more chance of me falling off.
Yeah.
So
well, I don't recommend that. Please don't.
No, that would be really bad.
Mm.
Falling off would just be so embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you mentioned earlier about Anthony Gormley's work.
Yeah.
What is it about his work that?
Because he's a people person. He's interested in people. I think he studied anthropology or something. And that's what it's all about. It's all about people. You know, that's what makes the world go round. And we're all similar, but we're all so different. And that can be really great, but sometimes it can be really difficult. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's interesting, like the work that he's done, you know, with the well, for me, I really like the work that he's done, you know, just near Liverpool with the statues looking out in there. For me, that always makes me think of coming and going and migration backwards and forwards between Ireland and England. So that's,
yeah.
I've always really sort of liked that. Just because he does people things,
mm-hmm.
and I like people. So
gives the accessibility.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting about this piece of work is sort of like, this is like a bit of a human zoo, really. It's like, you know, we're all sort of up there and for an hour showing our passions or our quirkiness or whatever it is. An interesting snapshot of life, because I don't think there's been two people doing the same thing. Do you know what I mean? There's always been a variation on a theme, so it just shows how different we all are. So... But he's onto a good thing. We're doing his work for him. He just said, "Oh, get a lot of people to stand the plinth. And off we go. We all go stand the plinth," sort of thing. So he could do a bit more about the arms trade, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Put his mind to it.
Yeah. Get on to him. I'll give him.
Yeah, yeah. He said, "Come on, boy. You know, enough of this art business. Sort out the arms trade."
Yeah, yeah. What would you say is most important in your life at the moment?
Most important in my life. Apart from my responsibilities as a mother, I think treating people the way I'd like to be treated is sort of my mantra throughout my life. And I think if we all adopted some degree of that, the world would look very, very different, really. So I just think that's important, having a respect for people. And maybe not everybody thinks the way we do at this point, but we can all change, you know, so you've got to give people a bit of chance and cut a bit of slack, really.
Mm.
And don't get so defensive about things,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, in our own corner, for our own thing, it's like, there's a whole pile of people here. We're all here together on this planet. The planet's going a bit belly up. We need to sort of stick together a bit more instead of isolating ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, treating people with respect and treating people the way you'd like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably the most important thing.
Yeah. And what's the main thing you'd say about yourself? Who you are?
Who I am. I try to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I suppose, for the greater good of everybody, just not for one or two people. It has to be the greater good for all of us. So, I'd like to think I'm honest about that as well,
yeah.
And altruistic. I don't do stuff just for my own
mm-hmm.
benefit, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I might be a lot better off if I did, mind you, but
yeah.
Yeah. So, just trying to do the right thing, and you know, making sure I'm informed about what's going on in the world and taking responsibility for it. So, and sometimes that feels like a big burden, you know, because you're. You know, you go to bed at night and your head's going, oh, what's happening in South Africa? What's happening in Rwanda? What's happening here? What's happening in Gaza? What's happening, you know, in this country? What's happening with unemployment? And your brain goes whizzing, whizzing, whizzing. But that's, people's lives are affected by this stuff all the time. And I might be, affected directly sometimes, but a lot of the time I'm not affected directly by it. So I'm in a very good position to do something about it, you know. So, yeah, that's... My head is in overdrive a lot. That's why I don't really need things like coffee or sugar or anything, you know.
So I won't get you that coffee.
No, because I'm a bit sore, you know. Yeah, it's just, and sometimes you just get overwhelmed because there's so much stuff happening in the world and so much injustice. You just sort of think, is this ever going to change? You know, can this ever change? But hope, you see, if you don't have any hope, there's no point. So you've got to keep a glimmer of hope.
Do you campaign for other causes?
Yeah, I do. Very passionate about sort of anti-war stuff,
mm-hmm.
peace stuff. And respect for life on this planet. So I'm a vegan, for example. I've been a vegan for way too long. I I've been a vegan for about 25 years, so, you know, I believe if I can't kill it, I can't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me, you know, each to their own, but that's my thing. If I can't kill the thing, I'm not going to eat it, because I'm not going to expect somebody else to do it for me. You know, I've done a lot of stuff around LGBT rights, you know, over the years been involved in, you know, went to non-stop picket at South Africa House, did a lot of anti-apartheid stuff, did stuff during the miners' strike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just current stuff, you know, I just sort of think if there's an injustice, I feel a responsibility to do something about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I do lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for the interview. And I hope you enjoy the hour on the plane.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, hope it goes well. Thanks a lot.